Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. It is a beautiful day. The Lord has provided for us. We're so excited to be here, to gather together, to worship Him. And after the service this morning, to be able to continue enjoying this beautiful day, these grounds that God has given us by having lunch together, having some fun time, and some fellowship, being able to connect with each other. And we look forward to continuing to do that over the course of this summer. Some of you may be visiting us for the first time, and if so, we want to extend a very special welcome to you. If you did not already do so, there is a Welcome Center booth in the corner of the building over there. After you're done today, as you're leaving, stop by there. There's a gift bag there waiting for you. We'd love to give that to you. One way of saying thank you for choosing to worship with us here this morning and to spend this time together. If you didn't already pick up a program, I'd also encourage you to do that. Every Sunday this summer when we meet outside, programs will be at the entrance of the pavilion as well as over again by that Welcome Center booth. In that program, you'll find the order of service. You'll find the scriptures that the pastor will be teaching from that day, and on the reverse side, the song lyrics. So that will be very helpful. If you didn't pick that up, I'd encourage you to go and do that now. Another thing that's on that program is things that are coming up in the life of our church. How many of you men with me were here yesterday for the men's breakfast? All right, look at those hands. Now, men, last week when I talked about the ladies' breakfast, there was a loud cheer. Men, how many of you were here for the men's breakfast yesterday? All right, there it is, there it is. So it was a great time. You see in the program listed there are a couple other dates coming up. July, August, we're going to do that again. So mark that on your calendars now. It's a great time of being able to be together, to learn from each other, to sharpen each other, and to continue to do that. Another thing that's happening is this Friday, on this stage right here, we're going to be having a concert. Dave Pettigrew is going to be here live and in concert. Bring a chair, come around 6:30 or so, and be a part of that night of worship. That's something we look forward to getting back to as well, something that we were in the habit of before COVID and getting back to that. Well, right now, I'm going to introduce Will and Victoria Kent, who are our youth co-directors, and they're going to tell you about something else exciting that's coming up this summer.
Woo! Good morning, Open Arms! I wanted to start off with a congratulations to all of our students for graduating the 2020-2021 school year! Woo! Woo!
They made it.
They made it.
They did.
Way to go, students. We also have a handful of seniors who have graduated high school and now graduated youth group. So super congratulations to them. But just as exciting, all current graduated sixth graders are now welcome to attend youth group. Yeah. All
Come
right. Let's cheer for that. Youth group is here at Open Arms Church on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. We meet outdoors, so you're welcome to join us. Now, Will is going to share with you a very fun summer event that we have coming up.
Victoria and I are super excited to announce our Youth Ministry Summer Splash.
Woo! Summer Woo! Splash!
It's our major event of the summer. It's going to be a ton of fun. It's super exciting. Our theme is going to be God's promises. So we're going to look at what God promises His people. And Victoria is going to share some of the fun activities that we have planned.
Yes, we have lots of fun activities. So some of our fun games that we have is bubble soccer, where we get literally into a large plastic bubble and play soccer and bump into each other. We also have glow in the dark, nine square. And we're also going to have the rainbow water gun battle, which is we're going to have squirt guns, we're going to get all wet, and then we're going to throw rainbow-colored powder at each other. And so much more. It's going to be really fun.
We are hosting it right here at Open Arms Church. Students are going to be bringing their own tents. They're going to be camping right here on our lawn. Student drop-off. It's going to be Thursday in the evening of August 26th. Pickup is going to be in the afternoon of Saturday, August 28th. Students, if you're in grades 7 through 12, you will not want to miss this event. It's going to be a ton of fun. Mark your calendars, invite your friends, tell everyone you know. It's going to be a great time.
So please RSVP to one of us by August 8th if your student would like to attend, and we can't wait to see you there.
Thank you.
Well, what is the age limit for this summer splash? All right. Well, we'll maybe bring out bubble soccer for a lunch on the lawn one day afterward. So that'll be great. So a number of exciting things coming up. But our main focus for being here, why we gather, is to understand what God has to say to us. Understand what it means to live this life knowing him. That's why we're here. That's why we come to worship. As we prepare to sing to him, would you join with me now in your hearts as I pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you have given to us. Thank you for these opportunities that we have to see one another, to connect with one another as together we seek to pursue you. Lord, for those of us who know you, who have that relationship with you, Lord, it's a joy. Our hearts are filled with gratitude as we recognize all that you've done. And Lord, for some that may be here today that don't understand that fully yet, Lord, we pray that you would make yourself known to them, that they would understand how good you are, how gracious you are, and the relationship that you desire to have with each and every one of us. So thank you, Lord, for this opportunity as we sing these songs to you. May our hearts and our minds be centered on you, and as we hear your word taught, as we seek to apply it to our lives, as we appreciate the timelessness of your wisdom, Lord, may we leave here today changed, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us if you're able as we sing? Hopefully you got a program as you came in, and the lyrics were going to be on the back side of that. And also, if you don't have those, you can also look up on your phone, openarmschurch.com/lyrics, and you'll see that pop up on our website. So let's sing together. Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy, come to the table, you will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell, the power of hell, forever defeated. Now it is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved, God so loved the world. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonders of his love. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonders of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. your failures, bring your addictions. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world. The dark tried to hide you and steal you away. Death tried to keep you inside of a grave. The enemy fought you, he tried but he lost. You cannot be stopped. When we cried for freedom, you tore down the walls. The weight of our burdens, you carried it all. Our fears and our failures hang dead on the cross. You cannot be stopped. Mover of mountains, breaker of chains, Jesus has triumphed over the grave. Sing hallelujah, battle is won. Nothing can stand against our God. We stand on your victory and shout at your praise. America, make your mighty save. Awesome in power, relentless in love. You cannot be stopped. Mover of mountains, breaker of chains, Jesus is triumphant over the grave. Sing hallelujah, the battle is won. Nothing can stand against our God. Mover of mountains, breaker of chains, Jesus has triumphed over the grave. Sing hallelujah, the battle is won. Nothing against our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There is nothing. There is nothing. Let's sing that again. There's nothing that can stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There is nothing. There is nothing. There's nothing that can stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. Nothing that can stop our God. There is nothing. Mover of mountains, breaker of chains, Jesus has triumphed over the grave. Sing hallelujah, battle is won. Nothing can stand against our God. Our God, mover of mountains, breaker of nothing can stand against our God. Your cross, it draws me to your heart. It makes my spirit sing, it makes my spirit sing. Your grace, so I hear it call my name. I'm waking up to sing, waking up to sing. Your grace, so I hear it call my name. I'm waking up to sing, waking up to sing. We will sing and shout, open up our hearts and pour your praises out. We will sing and shout, open up. Because your love came down, it makes me want to sing, makes me want to sing. Because you call my name, I'm waking up to sing, I'm waking up to sing. We will sing and shout, open up. Open up our hearts and pour your praises out. We will sing and shout, open up our hearts and pour your praises out. We will sing and shout, open up our hearts and pour your praises out. We will sing and shout, Father, we bless you this morning. We thank you that we can be out here and sing to a God that we don't see while we're seeing what God has made all around us. Lord, we praise you. We open your word, but Lord, we thank you that you have not just revealed yourself by the things that you've made generally, but you have revealed yourself very specifically through your word. You have spoken to us. It's true. It's right. It's perfect, and we open that true and right and perfect word to hear from you. We open your mouth this morning and ask you to speak to us, and we pray this in your name. Amen.
Well, amen, and as you take your seat, just a reminder, you may have heard it before, but follow the shade, folks. I mean, if that sun is going to come up over those trees, get up and move. You won't be distracting to any of us. Well, move this way. Don't move towards the parking lot, but move towards the trees, and you won't distract us. We encourage you to do that. Or head over where Rich and Joanne are. They'll let you borrow their 50 tanning lotion. Is that right? Okay. Well, we've been studying the book of Proverbs here for many months. What does God have to say about wise living on numerous topics? We come to realize that the book of Proverbs most of them written by King Solomon, whom at a point in his life, God asked him, "What do you want, Solomon? As you're about to embark as king, I'll give you anything you want." And Solomon said, "Lord, I want one thing. Give me wisdom in order to lead your people well." God loved that answer. And he said, "Solomon, not only am I going to give you wisdom, make you the wisest man, I'm also going to give you incredible wealth, that which you didn't ask for, and you're going to be the wealthiest man." So today's topic, it's appropriate that we look to see what God has to say about wise finances. How to handle money well. How important is that for us to know? You know, when Jesus taught for three and a half years on this earth, scholars say there's about 30% of his teaching started with a parable about money. He did that to get people's attention, to draw them in so they would listen, because he knew that everybody thinks about money. Everybody thinks about what money can buy. Do they have enough? How am I going to make it? How am I going to continue to save for that next thing I want? What about the next blight or, in that day, a flood that would destroy my money-making capability? And then he would teach. Once he had their attention, he would teach a spiritual truth, a foundational truth about forgiveness, about God's pardon, and about how God often uses how we respond to money as how we respond to him. He says this in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." And before that he says, you know, you cannot serve two masters. For either you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Both cannot be true. He's saying you'll despise God once you come to his word. And he says it's important, but it's not your priority. He says, but if you love God and trust God, he says, I will make sure that you have opportunity to have enough. So he says, Jesus, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Then he goes on to share these incredible illustrations of the lilies of the field, how beautiful they are. He goes, and God cares about you more than them, and about the birds, how every morning there's food for them. And he says, and God cares about you. He knows your life. He knows your needs. And he closes off and he says, "So of you a little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles," which is another word for unbelievers, "seek after all these things." That word means are consumed about all these things. But your heavenly Father, he knows that you need them. And notice what he says. "So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So he's saying it's not important to not go to work. We saw last week, wise work. He says it's important to work. Work hard. Work smarter. God says, I use work as a way of taking care of your needs. But he says, seek first as a priority. First in your heart. First in your mind. First in your processing. Seek God. Seek his righteousness. Seek his right ways. His principal ways. His ways of integrity. And that's why we come to the scripture today. How can God's people, especially in this season that we're coming out of, because this pandemic, this isolation, caused a lot of folks to re-examine life and priorities. See, a lot of times we don't do that. But at times we're forced to. What's really important? And here's what we found. Here's what society found. Here's what marketers and researchers and surveys found. That people realized that the things that they were pursuing in life before, luxury items, things, That didn't help them during the time of isolation. They found out that relationships, having those bonds healed, seeing, spending time with people is what really gave them joy and happiness and contentment. Until those became challenged, they didn't realize that. So people have reassessed their lives and said, I'm not going back to that other false dichotomy of seeking and purchasing, thinking that's what's going to make me happy. So for those followers of God, for those who are being drawn by God into a new way of living, a new way of thinking, receiving, contemplating, is this really the way to have a right relationship with God, to trust in what Jesus did on that cross as a pardon for my sin? For those of us who have gathered here this morning, who are watching live stream, God says, I have some principles from Proverbs to help you be wise when it comes to finances. So if you look at your program, you'll see three things we're going to take a look at this morning. Number one, planning our spending. This is the principle of budgeting. Number two, sticking to the plan. We make a budget, but if we disregard it, we're not going to see God's help. This is the principle of contentment. And then number three, honor God first. This is the principle of stewardship. But looking in your program, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Proverbs 27. It's the first proverb we're going to take a look at this morning. Planning my spending. The principle of budgeting. Know what you own and know what you earn. Get a handle on your assets. Understand what you earn before taxes, after taxes. Notice what the writer writes in 27. Know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. For riches do not last forever, and does a crown endure to all generations? When the grass is gone and the new growth appears and the vegetation of the mountains is gathered, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of a field. There will be enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household and maintenance for your girls. So they were agricultural society. They were a herding society. And so he's saying, know well the health of your flocks and your herds. Which ones are going to are growing and are strong and are healthy? Which may be on the way out? Make sure where you're taking them to feed, there is vegetation. And they're going to eat all that. And you got to make sure you bring them someplace else, because that's got to grow up again. So he's saying, take inventory, pay attention, be aware, so that you prepare yourself. You're knowing if you're heading into a lean season, because there's not much vegetation for the lambs to eat, or whatever you're growing, the rains have not come back. So he's saying, you got to budget, understand the day and the season in which you're living. You see, there's a cycle to earning. There's a cycle to saving. When we budget, we need to realize that there are some bills that come due weekly, some monthly, some annually. So to build a budget, you write down every single expense. Everything. I mean, we know the big ticket items, right? And yet, what about the stops we make on a daily basis, maybe to pick up a coffee or a candy bar or something. Write all that stuff down. Know exactly what you spend. The top line is what you earn. And then what are all your expenses? And take into account the monthly. Take into account the semi-annually or the annually. So know well the condition of your flocks. Know what you own, know what you earn, and then B, know what you owe and know what you spend. The plans of the diligent, Proverbs 21, verse 5 says, lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. The diligent, the budgeter, they plan. They're careful. They're creative thinkers, creative accounters. They're savers. They're self-controlled. they don't spend in lean times. I heard a story of a gentleman who drove his $120,000 sports car into New York, into Manhattan, right before he was taking a trip to Europe, a business trip for a week. He pulled in front of a bank, grabbed his registration from his vehicle, walked in and said, I'd like to secure a $5,000 loan, and I'd like to do it immediately. The banker says, well, we don't work that way. So he began to fill out an application, and the banker said, as he saw that the man had some means, he said, I'm going to need some collateral. And so the man handed him his keys and the registration for the vehicle that had been paid for in cash. And the banker looked at that and said, well, okay, for a $5,000 loan, we'll do it. So the guy left the bank, caught a subway and a shuttle to JFK, went to his business trip in Europe, came back a week later, walked to the bank, and he said, I'd like to pay off my loan. And the banker was a little surprised and said, okay. And the guy said, how much do I owe? He said, well, it's the $5,000 plus hardly any interest. It's $18 in interest. And so the man wrote out a check for $5,018, handed it to the banker. The banker handed him his keys and his registration, and he was about to leave. The banker said, sir, hold on one second. I checked more about your background. You're a really wealthy guy. I mean, you have hundreds of thousands of dollars of cash that's liquid. Why would you need a $5,000 loan from us? The guy said, I didn't need a loan. But where else could I have my car parked so safely in your garage for only $18 a week? A creative accountant. I don't know if that story's true, but I like it. And it gets my mind thinking about how can I save money? That's the diligent person. They think. They're processing. But notice, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. You see, the hasty heart, they see and they want. It's an impulsive buyer. They act in haste. They're a compulsive spender. There's that I want it now attitude. It leads to foolish financial risk. It leads to being sucked in by con men, by get-rich-quick schemes. It leads to immense credit card debt, reputation damage, and then incredible stress on lives and in the home. God says, don't do it. So the first principle, build a budget. Lay it out. If you're single and alone living in your house, it might be easier. If it's a family, you gather and you look at every expense that you have and compare that to your earning and make sure that you don't spend more than what you earn. Then you'll be crushing it instead of your finances crushing you. Secondly, stick to the plan. This is the principle of contentment. You and I need to differentiate between needs and wants. Notice Proverbs 23, verse 4. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. See, we saw last week that working smart, working hard is godly. But overworking for what we think wealth will bring, we think wealth will bring security, we think it will bring happiness, we think it will bring respect and admiration of others. God says that's chasing after the wind. He says you must discern the trap that marketers and advertisers set up for you. You deserve it, they say. You can have it now, they say. Look at all these happy people enjoying our products and services. You can be happy too. You can be one of them. But notice, your eyes see it. That's true. And all of a sudden, you go to grab it, or you have it for a short period of time, it flies off like a bird. The Lord says, don't toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning. Resist. Desist from that. Whoever loves pleasure, we see in Proverbs 21:17, you see it in your outline. Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. This is talking about a lavish lifestyle of just partying, of oils and massages and just relaxing. Make no mistake, the book of Proverbs, and there's many other scriptures that would say there are times where God blesses his children. He gives them the ability to earn, to make money. It's from his hand. But he says, that's not your life. That's not what you pursue in life. He says, be generous if I give you that ability. But he says, the difference here is what you love. Notice it says, those who love pleasure. There's a lot of folks who love God. They truly do. They seek him, his principles first, and God blesses them financially. But if you love pleasure, it will be your downfall. You won't experience the happiness, the contentment that you believe it will bring. Notice, B, we need to diminish debt. And one of the greatest ways to do that is to increase generosity. Look at this economic fact in 22:7 of Proverbs. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is a slave of the lender. God says, be careful of debt. You see something, you want something, and you're willing to forsake your future and even your today, because there's many who are saying, I'll give you the money at this interest rate. And then at the end of a cycle, the end of a year, you don't know what tomorrow may bring. But God does. Notice, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. God says delay. Step back. Be disciplined. Be content with what you have today. Trust me, God says, in this. Wealth gained hastily? Don't fall for the get-rich-quick schemes. Don't fall for the lottery. Don't fall into the trap of gambling. It will dwindle. That which God provides for our clothing, for our shelter, for our sustenance, our food, he says, if you're spending it on these other things for these other ways, he says, that's on you. He says, check and look how you're spending. He gives a promise. He says, I will give you enough to meet all of your needs. Not all of your greeds, not all of your wants, but your needs. He's saying to his children, I am faithful to you. The key to overcoming greed is generosity. Look at Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. This is a paradoxical proverb that can be applied to so many relevant ways in life. Its context originally may be money, financially. Those who are willing to come alongside and be a blessing to others, to refresh others, will themselves be refreshed. Giving freely, trusting. A lot of people put in their budget generosity. So there's things, there's individuals, there's ministries that they will give to because of this verse. Say, I want God's accounting on my side. And so I'm going to look to be a refreshment to others. And maybe the income that they do receive in God's provision, they're not able to give financially, but they give of their time. They give of their skills and of their talents. They come alongside a mentor to invest in the life and the spiritual health, helping others get started, maybe some area that experience in, God says that refresher of others will himself be refreshed. But notice there's another person. There's one who has financial means. There's one who has experience and gifts and abilities, but they withhold unduly. In other words, they can give, but they say, no, my time's my time. My skill's my skill. I did that for 10, 20, 30 years in the workplace. Yes, I have that skill, but I'm not offering it to others free of charge. And God says that person, notice, they suffer want. There's a loneliness. There's a void in the heart. They aren't being refreshed by others. There's a principle here. It says, when somebody takes all of who they are and what they have and steps out and cares for others, there's a cycle in life. There's a time where that individual have need and watch that refreshment come back to them. But that other, that doesn't happen. God says that's a principle of life. So principle number two, stay with the plan. Stay with the budget. And if you're a family, you need to be on board. You need to come to these things together. Not one who's the frugal one and the thrifty one, but you need to walk through the scriptures together. Discuss it together. Have that plan. Bring it before God. Commit it to God and say, Lord, help us with this. And that leads us to our final insight, final word of wisdom from Proverbs. Honor God first. This is the principle of stewardship. This is acknowledging and recognizing all of who I am, all of what I have is from God. And he's called me to be a steward, a manager of that. So I don't look at my finances, and for some who have walked with the Lord, understand a principle of tithing, which is giving God the first 10. Many embrace that. You know, it was commanded of God's people in the Old Testament who were under the law. You know, in the New Testament, it's never commanded. It's commended in Matthew 23:23, but it's not commanded for believers. You know what God says instead in 2 Corinthians 8:9? He says, examine your life, believer, follower of Jesus, one who's been given forgiveness and pardon forever. Give back to God in proportion to your blessing. He doesn't give an amount. He doesn't give a percentage. He says, give in proportion to your blessing. For many followers of Christ, they go, I am much more blessed than a man who's under the law, who's under religion. I'm under God's grace, and I'm going to give to him. Maybe the tithe, giving God the first 10%, is just a launching pad. It's for some, it's a goal, and that's fine. For others, it's a launching pad. But for believers today, God says, I'm looking at your heart. I do look at your wallet. I do look at your checkbook because I want you to be healthy. I want you not to be overcome by debt and crushed by finances. I want you to be an overcomer. I want you to be free. I want you to go where I want you to go. Many godly men and women have been hindered to obeying the Lord, doing what the Lord wants, because they're crushed by debt. They never followed these principles, and they've been enslaved to that debt. And the Lord says, honor me, put me first. Notice what he says in Proverbs 22:1-2. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. You see, some falsely think that the power, the authority, the influence that comes with finances makes people admire them, like them, respect them. That's not true. a good reputation, godly character, God says that person will have favor. Many people who are making it well in the world and they don't honor God, they don't put God first, people envy them. People despise them because they just see a hoarding mentality. They see that they've climbed over others to accumulate what they have. But here's the equal leveler right here. Don't we see it? The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. The Lord says, in my eyes, he says, I'm not giving greater favor to those who are wealthy. I'm not esteeming them higher than anyone else. I've made both the rich and the poor, created them in my image, and I call each one to seek me. I call each one to forgiveness. I call each one to put me first. And whatever your financial status is in life, he goes, that doesn't matter to me. Your heart, how you live, how you love me, how you love others, that's what counts to me. So seek me first. Defer to me. Trust. We see that next text from Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Every single room, every single closet in our hearts. Trust in him and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. And this is especially in finances. We try to figure it out. We research. We read books. We sit with financial planners. All of that is good. All of that is opportunities given to us by God. But God says, in the end, you've got to take my truth, my principles, what I say, what comes out of my mouth onto black and white. He says, are you putting me first? Are you trusting in me or just leaning on your wisdom, your skill, what your financial planner is saying? Notice, if you will defer to me, and that's what acknowledge means, I will make straight your... That's a picture of taking the divots in the road, taking the pitfalls, taking the messes that we have made, the debt that we've accumulated, the financial messes that sometimes we come to Christ and we trust in him and we see this picture and we go, oh my goodness. He says, I got this. You trust me. You honor me. You put me first, and I will fill in those valleys. I will straighten out your mess. Test me, trust me, see what I, Almighty God, will do, because I'm watching your heart. I know why you're doing what you're doing. It's out of gratefulness and it's out of trust. It's not out of scheming. It's not out of bargaining. Well, God, I'm going to give you some and you're going to give me plenty more. God says, that's childish. That's immature. I don't operate that way. Some might even preach that that's what I do. But God says, no. Give me your heart. Trust me in all. I know what your needs are. I'm faithful to care for you. Notice in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Honor, respect, defer, give precedence to. And notice here this principle of first fruits. In that day, in an agricultural society, in a herding society, they knew how many lines of wheat they planted, how many kernels of corn, rows of corn, whatever it is they were growing, they knew how many of their sheep were pregnant, how many of their cows were going to give birth to calves. They knew all of that. And when the first crop was raised up, they harvested that and brought it right to the temple, right to God, and said, I'm sacrificing this. They didn't wait till all 100% was raised up. They said, I'm going to trust God. There may be a flood. There may be a weather blight and the rains don't come. But this is a picture of one saying, either way, I'm trusting God. That first lamb that's born, I'm bringing it to the Lord. I'm not waiting till all 10 are birthed. God says that's a heart thing. That's a trust thing. And he says, and notice, you will have enough. Because God says, I'm the creator. In the end, the resources that come out of this earth, they belong to me. And you now, my children, who call me by name, Father, you're my child. Do I not know what your needs are? Will I not care for you? My hand's so much bigger than yours, and I want to be generous to you. I am the Father of lights who gives generously because I want to and I can to my children. A number of years ago, when our oldest daughter, Victoria, was younger, she had this chewing gum addiction, I guess is the best you can call it. And it was this fruity flavor. I don't remember the name. The package was exciting looking, and that makes sense if you know our daughter. She's very passionate about things and gets excited about things. And I remember one conversation she was having with Danielle. It was an evening. And she says, Mom, I'd have no more of my gum left. It's really late. Can you get up in the morning before we go to school and buy some gum and give me? Because I don't think I'm going to make it through school without my gum. I don't think she said I'm going to die, but she could have been thinking about it. What's what we love about her? She's passionate. And so Danielle the next morning, pretty sure obviously didn't get up and take our youngest one and go to the store and buy her gum. But that day coming home, I thought about my family as I'm getting home, getting prepared to see them, to enjoy them. And I thought about the gum conversation. I contacted Danielle. I said, hey, did you ever make it to the store to get that gum? She goes, no. I said, don't worry about it. I'll pick up the gum. And then she tells me, okay, don't go to this store, the one that's close to you on the way home. Go over here to this store because, you know, it's a lot cheaper. And I said, okay, thanks. I didn't follow that advice. I said, I'm not going 15 minutes out of my way to save 9 cents on a pack of gum. Now, that makes me a hypocrite because I'm speaking to you on financial stewardship and, you know, and I just blew the gum budget on that. But I went, and I didn't buy just one pack. I bought 3 packs. And then I saw another pack that was as exciting in color as the other one. And I said, oh, she might like this. So I picked that up, brought them home, gave them to Victoria. You know, she didn't even open them that afternoon. She put them on her nightstand and just admired them. She just looked at them. Later that week, we're heading to Cape Cod. It's a 4.5-hour trip, and so we're on the road. And all of a sudden, there's this incredible smell coming from the back seat. It was refreshing. It was exciting. It was some kind of passion, strawberry fruit. The gum. Yes, Victoria was enjoying the gum. Say, hey, Victoria, can I have a piece of that gum? I heard this moan come from that back seat. Oh, Dad. Hey, Mom, do you have gum for Dad? Now, she may have had some kind of minty gum, but I was already tasting the strawberry passion fruit. I said, Victoria, really? I gave you the gum, but Dad, I'm saving it. It's for a long weekend. I can't have one slice. And the moan. And all of a sudden, a thought came to me. This is a teaching opportunity about the Lord. You don't want to be caught with me in a long drive when I have these thoughts because I can get long-winded in my teaching opportunities. And I just said, Victoria, do you realize I bought you that gum, right? You realize I didn't buy you one pack. I bought you 3 packs. I bought you another pack that's different because I thought you might enjoy it. Victoria, do you realize, like right now, I could pull off any exit, go into a supermarket, and buy 42 packs of gum because I have the means to do it. So, Victoria, do you realize that I can pull over on the side of the road right now, turn around, and I'm strong enough and possibly mean enough to grab that pack from your hand? You not have any gum? Do you realize, Victoria, when we get to Cape Cod, I can go to a store and buy you 3 packs tomorrow, another 3 packs the next day, and another 3 packs the next day, if I wanted to. So as I'm watching her in the rearview mirror, Her eyes go outside. She's looking out. And here's Victoria. She's passionate about a lot of things, can be compulsive. But she's a thinker, and she's teachable. I could see her mind going. And all of a sudden, not one, but two slices of gum came up to the front seat. I was like, whoa. And I'm thinking, she must be thinking. She probably heard, oh, I'm going to buy you three packs tomorrow and three packs the next day. I don't know what it was, but I was grateful to get the gum and enjoyed it for the rest of the trip. Didn't ask her for any more. But I share that story because, to be honest with you, I have my own strawberry, passion fruit, gum hoarding areas of my life. Where God's saying, John, give to me. John, all of who you are, all of what you have, every dollar is mine. What are you moaning about? What are you struggling for? Do you realize who I am? How good I am? How generous I am to you? What I have provided for you? Do you know what I can do for you tomorrow? And maybe you also have those areas of your life where God has called you to give all to him, to trust him, to honor him with all of what you have and all of who you are. And he says, do it for me. Yes, maybe I'm calling you to refresh others. But for me, trust me, honor me, put me first. The writer of Hebrews says this, and I'll close with this. Chapter 13, 5 and 6. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So spare our hearts from that love of money. Be content with what we have. But here's the truth. Are you in Christ? Do you know that you know that truly you've heard him call you by name? And he has said to your heart, the reason you're not in the family yet is you've been rebellious. You've gone your own way. You wanted your own way. No one's going to tell you what to do. And then all of a sudden, there was a conviction. There was a pressing in the heart. And God saying, my son, I sent him compelled by love for you and your need. You cannot fix that rebellion. You need a new nature. A new heart. That's what Jesus offers, but you need to be willing to accept it. That means you need to be willing to put your hands down in humility, your hands up in yielding to me, and say, I come with nothing except a sinful heart. Wash me. Forgive me. Redeem me. I believe, Jesus, you died on that cross for me personally. And if I was the only one on this planet, I believe you still would do it. And I'm not worthy. But it's incredible to me that you see me as such a treasure to you, that you would do that for me. Father God, forgive me. Jesus, save me. And many of you have come to a place, a cross point in your life, and we've gathered here to worship. To study his word. But there may be a few who have yet to come to a yielding. These teachings, this principle on wise wisdom, don't try to practice any of them thinking you're going to make inroads with God or your bank account is going to increase. That's not what this message is for. That's not what these truths are for. This is for those who are in Christ, the one whom God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You're now my children. Listen to me, your father. and my instructions so it will go well with you and your needs will be taken care of. For those of us yet, those in this room, those under this canopy of this beautiful sky, God says, no, I want you. I don't want your money. I don't want your skills and your talents to try and serve me. I love you and I want you. Come with nothing but yourself, acknowledging your need. And in that moment, he says, that promise is for you. I will teach you contentment. I will show you me, myself. And you will come to love me and trust me and follow my ways and see joy, see peace, see contentment in your life. And you can ask those around you who have had life change, who have had financial disaster diverted because they trusted me and they honored me. Trust him. The rest, let's follow his principles. As we've learned in this season, relationships are most important. And the relationship with him is preeminent. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for the relevance and the practicality of your word. You know our hearts right now. You know our financial conditions. You know our spending. You know our earning. You know that which is wise in our spending. You know that which is foolish. You realize where we cut corners. You've been trying to get our attention. You realize where we're out, flat out cheating, maybe lying. And today you've got our attention. We realize why we lack peace. We realize now why we lack abundance. We realize now why there's no joy if we have abundance. And so, Lord, we surrender. We defer. We honor. We trust you. We no longer lean on our own understanding when it comes to financial matters, but we put you first. We defer to you, and we trust you for the outcome. You're worthy for such trust. You have proven to us your love for us. For why we were yet still sinners, you gave your son. He died on the cross for us. Not waiting for us to clean up our act. We can't do that in our hearts. You make us new creations. You give us new minds and new hearts and new desires. And one of them is to honor you in all things and to trust you in all things, even our dollars. So wash over our hearts. Strengthen us. Give us courage. Even give us the measure of faith to believe you in these important matters. You're worthy of it. And for Jesus' sake, our pardon giver. In his name I pray. Amen.
Would you stand with us again if you're able? There's no space that his love can't reach. There's no place where we can find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. Take me in like an orphan child. Take me in like an orphan child. Never let go, never leave my side. I am. My resurrection song. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I am holding on. I am.